Hi there, folks, and welcome or welcome back to Nippon Trading International's Japan Real Estate Podcast. I'm your host, Ziv Nakajima again, and this podcast is brought to you, among others, by Emil Gorgis of realestate.jp. He's a Tokyo real estate agent who specializes in serving international or mixed nationality families who are looking for the perfect family home. So Emil's an Australian. He's been living here in Japan for over two decades now. And for about half of that time, he's been buying, selling, and managing real estate properties in Tokyo on behalf of his own family and a great many happy clients. And he also acts as a mortgage broker on behalf of his clients. So he's got dedicated loan officers in many of the Japanese mega banks. And if you're a regular listener of the podcast, you probably already know him from our JREP, the Japan Real Estate Experts panel sessions, which means that you're already aware of the fact that the man is an absolute fountain of wisdom on all things related to real estate in Japan, and in particular to family homes, the greater Tokyo metropolitan area, and mortgages. And most importantly, he's incredibly generous with his time and advice, which he's more than happy to provide at no cost or commitment to anyone asking. So if you've been thinking about buying your home in Tokyo, but you've been sitting on the fence for a while, or you just want to have a chat in English with a real expert, drop him a line on sales@realestate.jp. Hit him up today and start exploring your options. All right, so for today's episode, this is a conversation with a new potential client who's looking to buy cheap but still stay near Tokyo. So this talk is really all about Tokyo and its immediate surrounding areas. How expensive is it really? Where could good, affordable properties be found in that general area? And also, what's Tokyo like when compared with other cities in Asia? And then we segue a bit into the experience of working with us at NTI as consultants and handholders while the transaction itself is being handled by a local Japanese realtor, as opposed to the normal course of us facilitating the entire purchase on behalf of the client. What are some potential issues with older homes in Japan? When it's a good idea to conduct a structural inspection prior to purchase, and what exactly should be checked in these scenarios. And then a bit about the potential yield of Japanese investment properties as well, and how to leverage those or another type of investment to potentially become a resident and eventually qualify for permanent residency in Japan. So well-rounded conversation there, bit more of a macro look on the entire family home or holiday home purchase procedure and how it can be done as smoothly and painlessly as possible, whether it's with the help of a good buyer's advocate or proxy like ourselves, or even if you're doing it completely on your own. Enjoy the conversation, and I'll see you again on the other side.
Okay, so I will. Do you want me to scroll down through your email and reread it, or do you want to give it to me from the get go?
I just have to remember what I wrote.
I found it. There you go. I found it too. So you found us through Cheap Houses Japan, right?
Yeah, I found you through Cheap Houses Japan, and basically, what I'm looking at is my work may decide to move me to Tokyo, so I need to find out, about buying a house there and figure all that out. And I've been doing some research, trying to do all the calculations to figure out, you know, how much money I need. The challenge for me is I have two dogs, so renting is nearly impossible.
Not much of an option. Your voice is kind of scrappy, horsey, something that sounds like a microphone issue.
Okay. Is that any better?
No, still... that's a little bit worse, actually. Raspy, okay, raspy, look, I would say. Okay. Oh, it was good for a second. Okay, whatever.
I can go and get my other headset if you want. It's up to you.
No, I think I can live with that. If it gets too much, I'll let you know. Okay, so you're thinking of buying... Does it have to be in Tokyo? That's pretty expensive.
No, it's not in Tokyo. Is that any better? I just switched the microphone.
Yes, what have you done? That's perfect. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, I just switched it to the PC instead of using this microphone, so it'll just be... All right. We're looking in Chiba and Saitama and Kanagawa and just kind of looking on the outside. The problem for us is that it's a full cash payment. Because foreigners can't get loans. So we're kind of looking at that as kind of pretty intimidating. But for us, it's just kind of a couple of
customers that have purchased on the, I think along the Keisei mainline. So between between Narita Airport and Tokyo on
Oh,
the
okay.
northeastern side. They got some nice late 80s, early 19s built houses in some of the smaller communities there along the track, for 15 to 18 million yen, so
Okay.
just under 200,000 US. It's not Tokyo, it's not even Chiba City, but
Yeah.
they're nice little towns.
Yeah. No, that's great. I think that's good. That's good to know. So we can, we're obviously trying to find a bit more money than what I had originally thought. But I mean, the other thing is I grew up in, my father was big into DIY, so my house was constantly under construction. So we're kind of prepared to do a bit of DIY just to try to save some cost and just kind of get going in a house. So
Well, that will widen your net. You can look at something that's a little bit older or a little bit worse shape.
yeah. Yeah. So I think one of the things that I wanted to understand was just the breakdown of the costs as well.
Yeah, so I'll
Looking
give
at
all that to you, but I think I'll exclude our cost because if you're looking for something like a holiday home or family home in and around Tokyo and vicinities, there are plenty of agents that I can put you in touch with who will be okay servicing foreigners directly.
okay.
So I mean, I'm happy to take your money, but you might want to bring us on like on a, as an hourly consultant, which is a lot cheaper, just to help you ask the right questions. Rather than facilitate the entire purchase on your behalf with a strictly Japanese agent, which was what we do, but you don't need that in Tokyo. There'll be at least three, four agents that I can think of who can help you directly.
Okay, great. No, that'd be awesome. I think our fear is because my wife and I have been living in, so we've lived in China, we've lived in Singapore now, so we've done, and we haven't been, we've been in Asia for 15 years, so in some fairly impossible places to buy a house, like Hong Kong, Macau. If you're familiar with the Macau real estate, it is madness. It's just, and
So
then
to Tokyo
Singapore,
looks
which is also
Tokyo
different.
looks friendly in comparison, right? If you talk about Hong Kong
Yeah.
prices and Macau prices.
Oh yeah, Tokyo is cheap. You like you could buy, I could build a housing estate for the cost of an apartment in Macau.
So you're going to be coming here and then going around with agents on a regular basis until you find the place, or are you looking to buy remotely before you arrive, kind of thing?
I do tons of business trips over there, so I'll be coming to look around
I'll just
in
hook you up
person.
with a local agent, then you don't need us, man.
Okay. Okay, no, that's great. Thanks. I think no, I really appreciate it. It's just it's up to you, because if you're helping us out in this aspect, it's also kind of,
I'll
we want to make
happily
sure
help
that.
you out, but you won't need me signing documents and reviewing them in Japanese and making sure, like, we'll come in as consultants. You take us on a 10-hour retainer bank.
Okay.
That's like $400 as opposed to the $4,000 that we'll charge you for full facilitation of the entire purchase, right?
Okay. No, that sounds
But
great.
then
That would be
we
perfect.
just talk to you. If you're talking to one of the
And
agents that we referred you to, then we're happy to exchange a few emails with them, but we're not going to re be representing you in front of a Japanese agent and taking calls from them and stuff like that. We're just going to be advising you and holding your hand along the way.
okay. No, that's exactly what I think I need. As long as, and it's all, it's because I work in business development, it's all about relationships anyway. So if you trust them, and it seems like you guys have a really good business going, so I'm sure they're quite cool. So
I trust them to be honest, but I also trust them to still be real estate agents. So they'll always
yeah.
be transaction oriented.
Yeah. Oh no, for
And
sure.
they're not going to tell you what questions to ask to make sure that you're not making any costly mistake. They'll just answer questions that you already have, kind of thing, right? So
Okay.
they're reliable and they're friendly and they speak English and they provide English documentation, but they're still real estate agents.
Yeah.
I'm
No, for
not saying
sure.
that as a derogatory term, that that's what their work is and that's what they're supposed to do.
Yeah. No, I work in sales, so I know it's the it's the same thing. So
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 it's good to have someone in
similar,
your
yeah.
corner, but you don't need us to actually do everything on your behalf. We'll just advise along the way.
Okay, no, that sounds great.
But so what is your budget roughly? That'll also dictate the age and the location and all that.
We're kind of looking, I mean, I know this is low, but we're looking like 7 or 8. I think total cost could be up towards 9, but I think, you know, that the purchase price, the list price of the house would be the final negotiated price would be 7 or 8, because you're looking at
7 or 8
the
million
cost.
yen?
Yeah. Which is quite low.
That's very low. That's going to be some serious shacks in out of the way places if you're talking around Tokyo.
Yeah. No, and
Did you
we've
want to
had quite
maybe
a few.
what's that? Sorry.
Go ahead.
Did you want to maybe consider an, oh no, you said the dog, so an apartment is out of the option, isn't it?
Yeah.
It has to
No,
be a
we're
house with it. Well, in that case, you might be looking at not the Narita side. I would say maybe more the south and southwestern sides, suburban Kanagawa, so a little bit past Yokohama kind of thing, and west, directly west of Tokyo, like all the way down to Hachioji. So those are all places. Transport will be smooth, but it will be 45 an hour out of the city.
Yeah, that's okay. I'm an hour and 20 from work right now, so.
Okay, and it.
We interrupt this broadcast to tell you about Tokyo Family Stays. They're a short-term rentals company in Tokyo, and they offer a home away from home experience, which is just perfect for remote working, quarantining, if that's still a thing, or if you just need somewhere quiet to get away from the world. They offer a variety of options for families, corporate relocations, or even if you're simply transitioning between homes in Tokyo. The properties are super comfortable, tastefully furnished, fully equipped with all amenities, and they accommodate up to 10 people. So, really, the only thing you'll need to bring with you is your toothbrush and maybe a change of clothes. They come with fast, unlimited wireless internet, dedicated workspaces, and fully equipped kitchens, and they're just a delight to stay in. Fantastic alternative to Japanese business hotels, which, if you've ever stayed in one, you probably know they're tiny, they're noisy. Fine for a night or two if you're on your own, but longer term or with a family, you'll probably feel you're in a jail cell very quickly in a Japanese business hotel. So if you want to give yourself a sense of space and freedom by renting a real home with comfortable Western beds, including all the necessities like baby bedding, children's toys, high chairs, etc., you definitely want to reach out to Tokyo Family Stays. They've been at it for over a decade. They're a fully licensed minpaku or short-term stay operator. And as a special bonus for our viewers and listeners, they're also throwing in a breakfast basket upon arrival for anyone who books and mentions the Japan Real Estate Podcast or NTI. And not only for guests, if you're a property owner, you've got an investment property that you want to tweak for higher profit, or a holiday home that you want to rent out when you're not using it via short-term stays, drop them a line today, see how they can help you maximize your property's income. And again, as a special bonus to our viewers and listeners, they're also offering a free audit of your existing short-term stay listings without any obligation whatsoever. So feel free to reach out to them at tokyofamilystays.com. Well worth a visit. And again, if you're in the market for a family home in or around the Tokyo metropolitan area, Emil's your man. Don't be shy to reach out to him as well at sales@realestate.jp. And now, back to the podcast.
Okay, and it'll be an old house, like we're talking early 80s, maybe middle 80s if we're lucky. Yeah.
No, we've done some a fair amount of research looking in that price range to see, you know, what we can find and what we like. And some of the houses we look at are pretty, they're pretty okay. They're a bit remote, so we'd need a car to get kind of to the
That's what I
station
mean.
and then off. And
Yeah.
but for us, it's kind of you know, we've lived in urban centers, so Hong Kong, Shenzhen, Macau, Singapore. So we're kind of like, all right, the country would actually be, you know, okay to have a place for the dogs to run and do whatever, you know, do dog things.
So, I mean, look, if the criteria is up to, say, an hour from Tokyo, and age is not a huge concern, then yes, they'll definitely be able to find some stuff for you. So I'll put you in touch with two agents that I can think of. Kick off the exchange with them and see. If you're not getting anywhere with them, which I doubt, but just in case you're not getting anywhere with them, let me know, and then we can just onboard you as a normal. just in case it's really too much out of their way, but I don't think so. They usually definitely cover Chiba and Kanagawa, so they should be okay.
Okay. Yeah, no, it should be good. I think we're I think as long as they're happy to help us out, that would be great. And I am not a real estate person, so I'm just kind of curious, is there anything I should know? Like I've done a fair amount of research into the types of houses, the types of costs, like some of the construction costs, like if you're replacing the bathroom, plumbers, that kind of thing. But is
Okay.
there anything that I should be looking out for that's particular to Japan real estate, like termites or earthquake
Well,
valid housing?
are termites particular to Japan? I thought they were something to check for
Oh no,
everywhere.
they're well, everything in Singapore is made out of concrete. So
Yeah.
there's not really a termite problem.
Well, it's wood, so you want to consider termite, you want to consider the mold that builds on it when it gets hot and humid. You want to get, so if you're, I mean, but you'll be living there, so you're going to be keeping it aired out on a regular basis. But if you're buying at such a low price, you're going to be looking at older homes. The question is whether do you want to commission a structural inspection or not?
Okay.
I mean, at that price in this location, a lot of it is what you see is what you get. But I'm just wondering about the things you don't see, like if the house is leaning, if support beams or the base or the roof or anything that is just not easily visible just looking around the house in a remote viewing or in-person viewing.
Yeah.
So you might want to commission a structural inspection. That's going to be between $1,000 to $2,000, depending on how big and how accessible the house is.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds like a good plan.
Yeah, aside from that, I mean, it's Japan, so you're aware of the fact that you're not going to be buying here for any capital growth, or unless you're buying super
Yeah.
central Tokyo, Osaka, or whatnot. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not for capital growth. It's basically to get us over into Japan, and then we would look at, maybe getting another property that we could rent out. And
Yeah.
the yield, I think I was looking, it's about 6 to 8% yield is what I saw in some of the stuff you sent over. Or does it, I know it depends on the area, but
That'll be gross, I think. Net pre-tax yield, if we get to 7%, we're very happy. It's usually 6 at most.
okay.
Unless you're starting to do short-term rentals or monthly rentals or anything of that sort. But with your longer residential typical leases, probably I'd say up to 7% at best if it's a smaller town, and maybe up to 6% if it's a more prominent town. And if you're talking Tokyo, Osaka, maybe more like 4 or 4.5% at best.
Okay.
And but that's net pre-tax, so including all of your known purchase and running costs, and not including annual taxes, not including unknowns like vacancies, maintenance. So net pre-tax, if we get 6, 6.5, that's usually what we aim for at most.
Okay.
Gross, I mean, when you look at online listings in Japan, you'll see all kinds of gross yields and what they call net yield, which is not even close to net. So I'm not even looking at cap rates and gross and stuff like that. Just how much is in your pocket before you pay taxes.
Yeah. Okay. No, that's great to know. That makes a lot of sense. So, yeah, I know the property is kind of based on the land rather than on the structure, it seems. So,
Yeah, there's no growth in the structure, and the land in the areas that you're buying at this budget, there's not going to be much growth.
yeah. No, for sure. I think for us, it's just getting over there and getting something, and then once we can start getting loans or qualify for some financing, I think that's when we can really start to look at doing something more
You're
exciting
headed
than
for
just.
permanency residence application? Is that the route?
I would hope so.
Okay.
That's kind of what we're looking at now because
Because loans would be difficult without that.
yeah.
Okay.
Okay. So that's like 10 years out would be residency, right? Or is that
Hopefully, worst case, if you're a good money maker, then they would definitely, even when you go to renew your business visa, they'll suggest that you want to apply for residency.
okay.
So it can be shorter if you're paying a lot of taxes and you're a good money maker. But usually I'd say, yeah, 5 to 10 years probably.
Okay. Oh, that's good. I'm just writing down some notes so that I
Yeah,
don't
go for it.
forget. Yeah. No, that makes sense. And that's not too bad. And residency is it quite tough to get if you're not marrying a Japanese local or
The 10-year mark is usually where, if you've been living here and earning money and paying your taxes, the 10-year mark is where you'll usually be able to almost semi-automatically just cruise into permanent residency. So it's not that difficult. Before
Okay.
that, it might be a bit challenging, but definitely after
Okay.
10 years, you're almost automatically good to go as long as you have a regular, stable income history and you're paying taxes.
Okay. No, great. Yeah, I think that's most of my questions. What else was gonna ask? I think for our situation and what we're looking at, it's I think it's gonna be, as you said, farther out of town, and then just trying to figure out, what's the best train line to get on to get to where I need to go. Because unfortunately, my office is in Akihabara, so it would be right in the
Okay.
middle.
Yeah.
It's a bit more challenging, but it's okay. So.
Well, I'll see. Once you start working with these agents, just give them the rough 1 hour to work. Don't say to Tokyo, because then you might get 1 hour to Shinjuku Station, and then it will take you another 45 minutes to get to work.
Yeah, okay.
So maybe let them know exactly where the office is and start searching in areas around an hour from there, because that might not take you southwest. That might take you northeast again, if possible. I don't know. So
Okay.
see how you go with the agents, and we'll take it from there.
Okay, awesome.
All right.
No, thanks very much.
My pleasure. If you could just, because I'm jumping into another meeting, if you could just reply to our last correspondence, just remind me to put you in touch with those agents, and I'll do that.
Okay, awesome. No, can.
Great speaking to you.
All right. No, thanks very much.
Thanks for your time.
All right, thanks.
All right, there you go. As promised, nicely rounded conversation on the purchase process and what's involved, with a special focus on the Tokyo area and some of the cities surrounding it. Hope you found some value in this conversation. Now, before we go, we're also, as always, going to tell you and also link to our other sponsor's website. That's Hiroshi Shimizu, immigration lawyer and administrative scrivener. If you're thinking about moving here on a more permanent basis, or you're already in Japan on some sort of a temporary visa, and you want to switch to a longer term or permanent one, or if you're considering setting up a local company or a branch office of a foreign company, and you've got any sort of business or visa-related inquiries, or even if you just want to find out what your options are on any of these topics, feel free to contact Hiroshi Shimizu. You can find him at japanimmigrationexperts.com. And he can help you set up a company, apply for any kind of visa, or just provide you with the best advice and extremely affordable consultation related to these topics. And he's already done that for many of our listeners. So feel free to reach out to him. Again, that's japanimmigrationexperts.com, and you'll be well on your way. And that's it from us for today, folks. Hope you've enjoyed this episode of the Japan Real Estate Podcast. Do share it with your networks and please let us know what you think. So leave us a short rating or review on the iTunes Store, on Spotify, or just drop us a line in the comment section of wherever you might have found this episode. We love hearing from you. Hope to have you with us.